The first five verses of John chapter 1. What marvelous words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's important. I know it's not good English. There's a withness and a wasness. So the Word was God, Jesus is God, and at the same time he's with God. And very early in the history of the church, people recognized that we need to sort out the doctrine of the Trinity. Verse 2, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. This is the sentence we're focusing on, verse 5. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness, this part, has not overcome it. Let's pray together. What grand words we come, those of us who know you, to celebrate a wondrously present, risen, reigning, redeeming, life-saving, marriage-restoring, death-conquering, soon-coming, magnificent Savior. Thank you for the joy of opening your word tonight. Guide and direct us in these next moments, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We Christians talk about a lot of things we don't actually see, at least not yet. We speak of things as actual realities that really don't appear to be happening on any large scale in this world. Peter says, we love a Savior whom we have never seen. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. 1 Peter 1:8. Our text in John tells us that Jesus has come into this world as the light. And then John says in verse 5, the darkness, that's this world of sin and unbelief, has not overcome it. And I want to pose the question, is that a problem for us, John's statement? What goes through your mind, honestly, as you sing, he rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love? Do those words feel like make-believe in this world? There are many areas of life where it certainly looks like the darkness has overcome the light. Most people thumb their noses at Jesus except to sing a few carols, perhaps thoughtlessly at the Christmas season. Crime and greed and abuse and addiction and war and hatred don't seem to be in short supply in this dark world. They thrive. Righteousness wanes. Darkness has not overcome it, John says. How do we know we are on the winning side? How do we know we're not all mistaken? How do we know the darkness hasn't won or at least won't win eventually? Is there hope? Is our hope just a blind hope, a make-believe hope, an empty hope? I think you can see that John's words in our text, they aren't irrelevant words. They hit us right where we are. They're piercing words. They are words aiming for a fixed place in our hearts. We're talking about the nature and certainty of Christmas glory. That's this series. This is the last one, Christmas glory in a selfie world. So John offers words of truth that matter. Your future, my future, your family's future. Everything we believe as Christians is absolutely useless if the darkness wins. I think we're all agreed on that. John's going to give us three reasons the darkness will not overcome the light. That's what we're looking at tonight. How do we know the darkness won't overcome the light? three reasons. But before we just look at them specifically, I want to make sure we understand, I'm going to go very fast here, just some of the basic terms of this text. If you have a Bible, I hope it's open. Verse 5, the light that he's talking about is Jesus Christ. When he says the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it, he's not just talking about light as the milk of human kindness or, you know, kind of an Oprah glory of the human spirit or human compassion or the unquenchable dream. It doesn't mean anything like that. The light he's talking about is Jesus Christ. We know that because just later on in John chapter 8, Jesus speaks and he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So we know Jesus is the light. We also know that by the way John prepares us for hearing about Jesus when he talks about John the Baptist. In verses 6, 7, and 8, John says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. That's John the Baptist. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light. Okay? So who's the light there? Well, it's Jesus. John came to bear witness to Jesus. That all might believe through him. He, John the Baptist, he was not the light. But he came to bear witness about the light. So we know from everything John says, Jesus Christ is the light that will not be overcome by the darkness. There's more. We know the darkness is this world of sin and unbelief. John says in 3:19, and this is the judgment. Light has come into the world, that's Jesus. People loved darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. So the darkness that John is talking about when he says the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it, the darkness John is talking about is this world of unbelief and wickedness that Jesus came into. It's the world of sin you and I watch on the news every night. It's the darkness we sense suddenly rising in our own hearts when someone aggravates us and tramples on our rights. It's the love we all have for self-elevation and promotion and accumulation. It's a world that aborts babies. 65 million babies in Canada and the U.S. since Roe versus Wade. It's a world that approves of sexual immorality. It's a world that not only does darkness, but a world that loves darkness, and it's a world that justifies staying in darkness. And to make his point even more clearly, John says something else very particular about this darkness. It isn't just darkness generally. It isn't just the darkness that sort of does some bad things. We know that already. John says there's something else very important, very specific about the darkness of this world, and it relates to Christmas because he says it's a darkness that is especially manifested against the light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That word overcome is important. It's a conflict word. The darkness pushes back against the light. We already saw that's Jesus Christ. It tries to overcome it. It leans into it. It specifically opposes Jesus Christ, God the Son. Not the Sermon on the Mount, not the Lord's Prayer, not love one another. It's not fighting against religion. It's not fighting against goodwill or love or peace or brotherly kindness, but it tries to stamp out the light of Christ, God the Son, as the Redeemer, the only Redeemer of mankind. It pushes back against that. It's like Herod trying to kill the light when he ordered the death of all those babies under two, when Jesus' birth threatened his dark pride, and the darkness has been fighting against it ever since. Of course, all this brings us back to that opening question. There's a lot at stake here. We're agreed, right? There's a lot at stake here. How can we be so sure the darkness won't overcome the light? How can we know the light will ultimately win? And John says there are three important reasons. You need to know these. Know them like you know the back of your hand. They're battle truths, life truths. Don't shelve them somewhere. Keep them with you like you carry your wallet. You will need them to sustain Christmas glory all year round. One. The light triumphs over the darkness because it is a living light bound up in the person of Jesus Christ. I know that seems frightfully obvious, but John says in verse 4, in him, that's speaking about Jesus, these are my words, not just his words. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So the light that has come isn't the teaching of Jesus, it's not the miracles of Jesus, it's the person of Jesus. That's good news for us. If the light is just a teaching, we're all in trouble because the power of a teaching, even very good teaching, is limited to those who are willing to agree with it and practice the teaching. There are all sorts of wonderful teachings with cobwebs all over them simply because people don't heed those teachings. If our future depends on Jesus' teachings and the acceptance of all those teachings, we are in trouble. Don't miss the simple, obvious, and potent truth that John hammers out here. In him, in Jesus, in the person of Jesus Christ, God the Son, was life, and that life was the light of men. So the light that has come is the person of Jesus. And the life of Jesus, we know from Easter, is an eternal death-conquering life. It came out of the grave. It has never been stomped out. Consider this. From Nero on, right to this very day, every enemy of Christ has died and will face judgment. Every single one of them. Only Jesus conquered death. In other words, we know the darkness will never overcome the light because the light is a living light. It has death-conquering energy. Because the light of Christ is a living light, it is a reproducing light in this world. It doesn't just inform. It doesn't just instruct. Over and over again, we see that this life has creative power. John 1, 3, all things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. John 12, 36, while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of the light. John 12, 46, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Ephesians 5, 8, Paul says, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Now you are. Not you've heard of, you've studied, you are light in the Lord. Jesus actually takes people who were captive to the darkness and he transports them into the light of his own eternal kingdom. The light is an active light. It is powerful. It is spreading. It is living, moving, penetrating, reproducing. It's a light-piercing darkness. It's tied up in the eternal person of Jesus Christ himself. It's not a philosophy. It's a risen Lord. Point number two. The light triumphs over darkness because it is not an equal power with the darkness, but is the originator and creator of all that is. I already read it. I'll read it again. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Now remember, the him, in that verse, all things were made through him, and without him, that him is the same him in verse 4 that we looked at. The same him as in verse 5. The him is Jesus Christ. And when John says Jesus was the light, he means to tell us that the light is not only a living light in his person, that was point number one, But he means to tell us that it is the creative light of all that is. This is profound. This is profound. It means, how do we know? The darkness has not overcome the light. How do we know? The light will win. This means that not only will the darkness not overcome the light, this means that the darkness actually depends on the light for its very existence. The power of darkness is secondary and dependent. The Bible tells us that not only did Jesus create all that is, but it says He, the light, sustains everything that is by His own power. That's in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. And look at this. He, that's the light, that's Jesus. He upholds, what does He uphold? The universe. Just by the word of His power. The universe. Appearances can be deceiving. Even though the darkness enjoys a long leash in this age, it continues in existence only by the willing concession of Jesus Christ, the light. The darkness will not overcome it. Now, the powers of darkness know this is true, even if you and I forget it. I always find it fascinating. You don't have to look this up. Let me just read it to you. In Matthew 8, 28, 29, Jesus, when He came to the other side, to the country of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men met Him coming out of the tombs, so fierce that no one could pass that way. Behold, they cried out, these demonic powers, "What have you to do with us, O Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" I love that. It's like an hourglass, and it's running out for them. It's running out. They know a time has been set. It's been set for their destruction. They know they function within limits. They know the light will conquer all. So we know the light conquers the darkness. First, because it's a living light. It's the person of Jesus Christ. It's not just an ideology. We know the light conquers the darkness because it is the creative power of the whole universe. John has one more thing to tell us. The victory of the light over the darkness, while one day final and absolute, in this age, is dependent on a response of faith in those who hear. John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, back to our text. In Him was life, and the life shine, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The thing that makes those words challenging is many times it looks as though the light makes no difference at all in so many people. But that appearance is very deceptive. The light only appears impotent for many people because in this present age, the light doesn't force its influence. Not yet. How people respond to the light of Jesus means everything and makes all the difference. There were all sorts of places where Jesus labored to point out that we must not make the mistake of judging the eternal power of the light, His kingdom, by its present appearance. He said, Luke 13:19, "It is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his garden. And it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nests in its branches." How does the light do its work? Paul's very clear that the living light of Jesus Christ does have incredible impact on many. He says, "For at one time you were darkness, now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." So here are people, Paul points them out, People whose lives have been turned inside out and upside down by the sheer power of the presence and light of Jesus Christ. They used to live completely in the dark. They probably weren't even aware that they were completely in the dark. And that just shows the nature of spiritual blindness and self-deception that people live with every day. And now their whole walk, that means their whole daily lifestyle, the way they think, the way they act, the affections and delights and ambitions of their hearts, it's all been transformed by the power of the light. The light literally conquered the darkness. Did you see last Sunday when we played that DVD from those people in Novokuznetsk in the Teen Challenge, those men? Man, that was good stuff. See, the light just conquers, wins. How did it happen? Does it work like this for everyone? Is it automatic? We've already seen these two texts in this teaching, but just as I wrap up, they're so central to properly understand the power of the light over darkness in this world. John 12:36. This is a time word, while. It means it's not going to always be available. While you have the light, so that's the time, believe in the light. That's the verb. Believe in the light that you may become. That's the result. Sons of the light. And when Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. While you have the light, opportunities come and go, folks. When you see, when you understand, when you hear, when you feel the influence, seize that moment. While you have the light, believe in the light. Respond to the light of Christ, Jesus, God the Son. The next verse is 12:46. I have come into the world as light, so that, here it is again, whoever believes in me may not remain. So if people don't believe, I don't mean believe in the sense that I'm sure he lived, Jesus, and I'm sure he died on a cross, and I'm sure he was a very good person, and isn't that nice, and too bad the way they treated him. I don't mean that. I mean believing what Jesus said about himself and why he came and your need of him. So, if people don't believe like that, while they have the light, while the Lord speaks, while they know the truth, while they sense their need, if people choose not to believe, what about them? Well, they remain in darkness. You can't get out of this on your own. You can't fix this by yourself. No one can. Christmas is not fiddle around truth. Christmas is bread and butter truth. Life truth. The purpose of Christ Jesus coming into this world to take people out of darkness. It isn't accomplished through magic. The light doesn't run willy-nilly throughout the earth just sweeping careless people up in its hamper with a broom. Believe in the light. Set your thoughts on Christ. Recognize who he is and why he came and why he died and why he rose again. Respond to the light so you don't remain in darkness. I said earlier that the darkness does not overcome the light. And this whole message has just been my attempt to be a statement of why this is the case. The darkness will not overcome the light. You see what's happening in New York recently? The shootings on Parliament Hill. Do you see what's happening in the world? But the darkness will not overcome the light. Ultimately, the light wins because the light is Christ and Christ is God. We've actually worked our way, if you notice, from the end of our text back to the beginning of it. John has made his point. No one ever beats God. But the darkness of pride and sin and stubbornness is very real. If not all powerful, it's very powerful. It works stubbornly against the light in this world. Primarily, the darkness gains its foothold by blinding people's minds and distracting people's minds from what matters most. My own opinion is 2 Corinthians 4, 3-6 are as good a summary of what the Bible is all about and what the Christian faith is all about in terms of its relevance and importance. Where Paul writes and he says, "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing," listen, the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Hear this call to fight the darkness with all your might. Fight unbelief like you'd fight a bandit breaking into your house. Focus and set your heart on Christ. See for yourself the glory of God in the face of His Son, Jesus Christ, at this Christmas season, and experience for yourself why the darkness will not overcome it.